worship you. We just stand in awe of you, your excellent majesty, your awesome power, your great humility, submitting yourself to your word. We worship you. We honor you. Help us, Lord, to truly desire righteousness. To truly, truly desire brokenness. To truly desire to be holy, even as you are holy. So go into your word, Lord. We recognize that it is the word of God, and we are inadequate to deliver it and to receive it. So Father, I come to pray, coming by the blood of Jesus into your presence with my brethren under the covering of said fathers. We ask for fresh mercy from your throne, fresh unction, fresh life, that Lord, your word will come out of my heart and out of my mouth. Lord, make my heart a pure chalice so that your word will come forth in purity. Lord, it will come forth in power. It will come forth in simplicity. It will come forth, Lord, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And as your word goes forth, may you make my mouth like the pen of a ready writer to inscribe the words on the hearts and the minds of each of my brethren, including myself, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, as your word goes forth, an eternal work will be wrought in all of the hearts of those that are listening to it, myself included, so that, Lord, our wills be more submitted to your will, will be truly broken. Lord, our minds will be more illuminated and flooded with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions be further tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, molding us to be conformed to your image, even as your word goes forth, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, you back it with your power, so that yokes are broken, blind eyes are opened, deaf ears are unstopped. You lift us up to a higher level of light, a higher level of glory, a higher level of obedience. In the name of Jesus, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. Help me to redeem the time. Lord, saying only those things that you would have me say. And as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, things both new and old will come forth out of my heart under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I duck under the covering of my spiritual fathers, Pastor Luby, Mommy Sarah. Lord, as your word goes forth, clothe me afresh with the mantle that is upon my fathers. And I will do it, Lord, the same way they would have done if they were here personally. Let this word be a blessing to their hearts. Let it bring them joy and refreshing. Let it bring edification and life and refreshing to my brethren, in the name of Jesus. That this tabernacle will be built up, Lord, by this word that comes forth and other that you'll be bringing, Lord, ready for the habitation of the Spirit without measure, in the name of Jesus. We honor you, our God. We welcome you. Have the preeminence in everything we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Now this morning, that song was so powerful. And I know that the Lord wants to do something in our lives today. The title of this message is Cultivating Love for Correction. Cultivating love for correction. Correction you can define as a change that makes something or someone right, true, or accurate. So correction is anything that makes you, in this context of this message, correction is anything that God does that makes you more right than you were before. You may have been wrong, then it puts you on the right path. Then you may have been partially right, and then it gives you more light so that you see more completely and you have more of the mind of God. That is correction. It makes you more righteous. It makes you more broken. It makes you more holy. It makes you more like God. That is correction. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 13, Amplified Bible. And I read Hebrews chapter 12. And we see this. See, correction is a necessary route to maturity. Without correction, you're not going to be mature. Now, it's very unpalatable. Bible says it is grievous. But it is the way to become a son of God. Amen. All right, Amplified Bible, please. Amplified. All right, let's read it together. And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? The word of God is a word of appeal. The word of God is a word of encouragement. To make you, God is reasoning with us and addressing us as sons. Next verse, continue. My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by Him. Amen. God is talking to you. Next verse, thank you. For the Lord corrects and disciplines some people. Only the very bad ones. Only someone that are partially holy. He corrects, disciplines everyone whom He... If God loves you, let me see your hand. I mean, you've seen, you know that God loves you. I think God is talking to you. Eh? Let's read together. Say, for the Lord corrects and disciplines me whom He loves, and me He punishes. Me He even scourges. Every son whom He accepts and welcomes to His heart and cherishes. Selah. Pause and think. So next time I say, may God punish you and accept you and welcome you to His heart and cherish you, you say,
amen.
See? Change your mindset. Change your mindset. God is doing something. God wants to change our mindset. Amen. Don't go and tell somebody else to. You must tell them the whole thing. Don't break it in the middle. Okay, next verse. Thank you. Quick. You must what? To and endure correction and for discipline. You must submit to and endure correction for... You know, we are disciples. Correction is a discipline you must exercise yourself in. A discipline is something that you learn, isn't it? You learn a discipline. You go to university, you learn a discipline. What's a discipline? Accountancy. What's a discipline? Engineering. Okay, so it's a discipline. What's the math? Okay, so it's a discipline. So it's something you learn. It's something somebody has to teach you. It's a process. Something that you have to be examined in. And then you are found worthy in that discipline and in all learning. And then they award you a certificate. True or false? God awards you a certificate when you graduate. Sonship. But there is no sonship without correction. Let's continue. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and... I'm one reading alone now. Let's go back to four. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Brethren, Christianity is not a walk in the park. Amen. You're going to be trained. In Jesus' name. Some people refuse to train, you know, you will not refuse in Jesus' name. But we have to be trained, all of us, including myself. I'm still on that training. I'm standing here just by the mercy of God. All right. Okay, so train. Next verse. Thank you. Now, if you are exempt from correction and left without discipline, in which some, most, a few, what does it say? All of God's children share. If you are God's child, let me see your hand. No exemption. No exemption. All right. Then you are illegitimate offspring and not true sons at all. If you refuse correction, there's a way the Yoruba say it. I won't say it. If you refuse correction, Bible says you become, the King James says you become a bastard. Who is a bastard? A bastard is not someone whose parents are not married. Okay, so he's born out of wedlock. Basically, or sometimes, there's another definition in the dictionary that says a bastard, anybody who behaves in a negative way. The same synonyms of bastard include rogue, scoundrel, you know, those kind of words. So what they are saying is that a bastard is somebody whose character belies his parental upbringing. It belies his heritage. He does not reflect the name that he's carrying. Will not be bastard in Jesus' name. But if you don't submit yourself to correction, guess what? You automatically set yourself up to become a bastard. There is no middle ground. Parents, you must train, you must correct, you must discipline. Don't be afraid. Who are you going to be afraid of? So they won't greet you. And so they won't talk to you. And so they do bongo bongo. You should come and live in mommy's house. Mommy is not easy. With the eyes of the spirit, you can be watching a movie and we are all laughing and somebody makes a comment and that's the end of the movie. Why did you say that? What do you mean? And you are wondering, Mommy, I'm sure she just said, just one of those things, just said it. No. And until she exposes the root of it, then you now see how big it was, but it came out in a flash. The question is, are you spiritually alert enough to see those things when they happen? Because if you yourself have not been trained, corrected, and disciplined, you cannot give what you don't have. That's why Satan is attacking the church. Because there are people that will not submit to authority, and then they want to get home and exercise authority. From where? Nowhere. Nowhere. So God is dealing with us as we sons. Very important. Next verse. Thank you. We've done this. Next verse. Thank you. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we yielded to them and respected them for training us. Oh, and he yield. When we hear my daddy's horn, just the horn of his car, like there at the junction of the road, everybody pick race inside, straight, and sit down, you know, wipe the sweat off your brow, you know, quickly, and look at him, welcome daddy. Was when I grew up, I said, but I'm not doing anything wrong. Then I'll wait, so I'll be the only one on the field. And everybody has gone inside. And he will just greet me. And I found out, why were we running in the first place? There. Something inside was telling us that, you have not done something you are supposed to have done. Is that fear that makes us run away from authority? Is that fear? The fear of the unknown. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. But when your love is not perfect, fear will sit down and reign. and you will operate in fear, not knowing why you are doing what you are doing. That's why. Yet, we submitted to them. But we didn't think it through. Because we didn't have this light that God is giving us. Amen. Let's continue. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the Father of spirits and so truly live? Your father was beating you so that you could be a good boy and a good girl. For just natural things. There were many hidden things of dishonesty that you still had. But at least they felt that, okay, yes, praise God, I've tried. But now, saying, God, isn't God better than your father? Isn't he wiser than your natural father? Isn't he more patient than your natural father? Isn't he more believing than your natural father? Isn't he more powerful than your natural father? He has can give you the life to effect the change in your life. So he is in a better position to enjoy your submission. Willingly, willfully, you deliberately submit instead of running away. Amen. Next verse. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time. How long did they discipline us? Let's say from age 3 to what age? I mean, maybe the cane stopped at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, wherever, depending on where you decided to really change. All right. But let's say by the time you get to 20, they're still caning you, you have life. Serious life. All right. So let's say, but from that time, maybe the correction, the chastening may stop with the cane, but then with the word now comes out. So 30, 35, 40. That's why they say a fool at 40. Alright. But but Bible calls that a short time. 40 years. A short time. Ah. Then the time frame God is talking about must be eternity. He's thinking of eternity. And he's saying, what little thing are you going through? Eternity is on the line. That's what he said. Eternity is online. I'm doing this for your tomorrow. It's not for today. Cooperate with me. Be more broken. Be more holy. Be more righteous. That's what he's saying. Okay, let's read on. And chastise us as seem proper and good to them. But he, that's our heavenly father, disciplines us for our certain good. God's good is certain. Good only, Bible says, in the way of righteousness is life. In the pathway thereof, there is no death. When God told Abraham to give up his son, Uncle Ty was preaching yesterday. He looked, give up your son, kill him. That was the way of, it was instruction. So the Bible says, take fast hold of instruction, for she is thy. So Abraham took that and was walking in the way of life. But the way of life said he should die. He should kill his only son, whom he loves. But when he got to the end of it, did the boy die? In Abraham's mind, he knew that this thing cannot be broken. God's promise cannot be broken. And that's one thing that we have in God. God will always honor his word. Amen. So it's important to reason along the word of God. Amen. So that in the pathway of life, even when an instruction looks grievous, or a correction looks grievous, understand that at the end of it is life. There's no death. There's no loss. There's no damage. Abraham said, I will kill him and he will come back again. He has to. Because in the pathway thereof, there is no death. So there is no need to be afraid. Amen. Amen. So let's continue. But he disciplines us for our certain good. We've seen that now. That we may become sharers in his own holiness. See that song? Beautiful song. Holiness. That's what he longs for. But is it what you long for? You have to learn it. I have to learn it. We all have to learn it. We learn to desire holiness. We learn to desire righteousness. We learn to desire brokenness. Amen. Because it makes us part and parcel of Him. Makes us just like Him. That's what He wants. Next verse. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful, but afterward. So it means you must go through it. It's part of what Pastor Boyega was preaching this morning. Some tribulation you have to go through. As being a child of God, there's some things God will do to you. The same way your earthly father did some things to you and the earthly man did some things to you. Yes. And nothing came out of it. Did anything come out of it? At least you didn't do that thing again. I remember the day I misbehaved. They beat me. My leg got stuck in the door. One sharp part of the door. And the thing pierced my leg. And my daddy said, very good. And now beat me proper. But you know that thing? Anytime I thought of doing anything wrong, I remember that beating. I said, hey boys, you can do it. You have a house to go back to. When I go back, I am a dead man. I'm not talking figurative. I'm talking literal. I am a dead man. So, you guys can explain. They will short you. You won't travel. Me, I'm going $60. I'm not going with you. Yeah, so when I think of, I said, no way. It's not worth it. Yes. No, because those stripes, they do something on the inside. They cleanse away evil from the inward parts of the belly. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. What will make it go? Rod of correction. But as you are correcting, you are praying with your thoughts. You are asking God for mercy. Because you can beat a fool with 100 stripes. And yet you will not separate his foolishness from him. So it's not just a physical process. It's both physical and spiritual. In fact, its root is spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. All right. But afterward, so it's a necessary, but you're not going any other way. There's no roundabout. There's no detour. You can't tell GPS to do it. No way. It's one direction. All right. But afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Those who have been trained by it, a harvest of fruit, which consists in righteousness. The verse said holiness. This verse says righteousness. In conformity, let's read it together. In conformity to God's will, in purpose, thought, and action, resulting in right living and right standing with God. That's amplified. Amen. That's amplified. A harvest of fruit. That's what God is. That's why we got born again. That's why Jesus died. A harvest of fruit, love, joy, peace, long suffering. So that when they see you, they see Christ. In essence, it's still you, but it's now Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why God does it. He's not doing it just because he wants to be wicked. He's doing it because he wants to produce a result inside you in conformity with his own will. His purpose must become your purpose. His thought life must become your thought life. Brethren, we have a long way to go. His action must become your action. So just getting born again, just started. Don't go and read, my God shall supply. Yes, he will supply, but he will supply according to the purpose, according to the thought, according to the action you have walked in. And he wants to give you all. So to get all of the blessing, the fullness of the Spirit, you must be totally conformed. Brethren, can I have just two of you? Two of you, please. Imagine God is on the throne. Can you stand? Just, yes, that line. Stand right in front of this. Just stand right in front of it. No, there. No, you can face them. Right. Okay, so this is God's family. No, you stand here. Well, right, for a purpose. Right, so God is on the throne. The fathers are here. And God wants to do something. He wants to produce a result in the earth. And in his perfect alignment with his will, with his purpose, with his thought, with his action. Everything totally synchronized. And brother, you are there. So how will the power flow? Will it go straight line, come, and then now go like this? Is that how it's going to happen? So what happens? That it will stop here. You won't get to where it's supposed to go to. So you know what God does? He will now correct. Boom! Sorry. Please don't be angry. No, stay in front of me. No, the tunnel. No, just face. So, align in front of him. Left to the left. So now, what happens? The power is coming from God. It will come to the fathers. It will flow through us. And the fullness of God will come to manifestation. Thank you. Please sit down. Amen. You got in it. Amen. So there must be total conformity. Next verse. So then, what did he say? So then, brace up and reinvigorate and set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands, and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering knees. Next verse. Relative to God, that's how you are. Until God does some work inside, he help you to brace up your knee. Man, yeah, unrighteousness, disobedience. We'll brace it. We'll stand straight. Jeshurun. Stand upright. Jacob made a journey. God corrected him. When he was Jacob, supplanter, smart, fine. Birthright. Bah. Then he took him to the house of Laban. Laban now gave him 10 times better. Wow. Hey. When he now left by the mercy of God, he didn't leave empty. If left to Laban, he would have left empty. It was God that had mercy on him and gave him wisdom. Then God now brought him back. Then Esau said, he's coming back. Like, yeah, gallop on his horse. And Esau is coming. Hey, Chineke, along Ejo. He now went to God. God asked him, what is your name? When God asks you, when correction comes, guess what they're asking you? What is your name? Don't say, my name is Segun, my name is Kunle. That's not the name they are asking. What is your character? What is your thought life like? What are the hidden things that you think about? What is your purpose? What is your motive? Where are you going? What are you living for? That's your name. So that time he wrestled with the angel. From night until the morning. Kosh all night, Ri. Wash all night. By the time he finished, the angel said, Nana touched all of his thigh. Took away his strength. Correction is going to take away your self-confidence. Your dependence on your intelligence. It has worked and worked and worked and worked. You get to bust up. Well, it won't work. You will do what you normally do. It will not work. I am the Lord that teaches you to profit. All the time was working. It wasn't you, it was me. So you now do what I want you to do. Yes, sir. And then it works. Sometimes it may take you 1 month to land that. Sometimes it may take you 1 year to land that. As long as it takes is what God will do. I have seen people fail exam 5 times. 5. To the point where even I am begging, be on your jaw. And the person, when you are talking to them, you know, when you're talking to them, talking normal pop, we call it, how I can't remember that, blowing stuff. When nobody's talking, correct sense, is talking intelligent medical stuff. You know, it's like, you know. So, how did you fail? Oh, no. When you pass, you get the highest in theory. And then you get to clinical, they give you 48. The doctors know. 48 over 100. And to you, two kwereloku. That's a definite failure. Oh, love it. Heaven and earth will pass away before you pass. With 48. I'm telling you. It's what you call a definite failure. Who them will? So? It's God. So, what am I saying? I say God sometimes does these things to take away your strength and your confidence. So, your confidence moves from you to God. Amen. Right. Okay. Next verse. So, God wants to brace those knees, wants to reinvigorate and give strength. All right. No, verse 13. Thank you. And cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and the halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. Amen. God wants to cure it. Cure those feet. Cure those. So that we see correction. That's so thank you. So we see correction is a sign of love. It's not a sign of hatred. When people correct you, the natural tendency is to say, and that person doesn't like me. Yes, Papa Rafa told us that. But correction is not rejection. That's something Papa Rafa. It's not rejection. Actually, it is a welcome. Remember what we read? He punishes us and then welcomes us as a son that he cherishes. So it is a, you know, when you are with people that don't correct you, the Bible says the kiss of an enemy are deceitful. And you feel very comfortable because they leave you where you are and you are comfortable in their presence. In your current level of unrighteousness. But when you are with people that love you, they cannot bear to see you. Somebody see you when you are about kinwa loja. What that means that, you know, when a woman is carrying a baby on her back, you know, sometimes she will not know because the baby is behind. When the baby is sleeping, the baby's head has gone to one. So somebody who is, but people just walking by. But an elderly person, when they see it and they can't take it. Because that child is like their grandchild. So they will come and they will poke their nose in your business. Yes? Isn't this so? They poke their nose and tell you, oh, they worry about you. And you can almost say, Shabama Mini, they feel it. No, but they poke their nose in your business and correct you. And why are you doing that? And thank you, ma. It's correction. Is love. If your baby's neck is like that, who will have a neck ache? It's your baby. So they are so even though they may say, even though the words they say may be harsh, the spirit behind it is love. And you must discern it correctly. Amen. The spirit behind it is love. Let's look at two examples. Jesus is our chief example. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. If Jesus went through this, brethren, there's no escape. All right. Let's look at it. Hebrews 5. Yes, KJV. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now that includes self-denial, and it also includes correction. Son of God. Next verse. And being made
perfect.
So it's a process. Even the Son of God that had life in his spirit, life in his soul, life in his body, he had to maintain that life. He had to maintain, he had to make sure that he kept himself unspotted from the world, from the influence of the devil in the air. So he had to learn and use that life effectively to create the character of God on the inside. You know, Pastor always says it, Jesus was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He did not come as God. He came as an ordinary man with the divine nature. And then by that divine nature, he built the divine character in him by practice, by exercise of obedience. And many times, the way it shows up that you are not where you are is that you cannot obey instruction. They give an instruction. Yes, sir. I do it. And 15 minutes later, kilo happen. Somebody called me. So I'm still going to do it. But you said you would do it. Before you went on the detour, the correct thing to have done is to have gone back to the person who gave you the instruction and let them know that thing I said I was going to do, please, I need to do this first. A person says, no, don't do that. Do this. Now, to use that, but I just wanted to, I'm just using my common sense. Who asked you to use your common sense? They asked you to obey the instruction. Instruct does not leave room for your common sense. Amen. Many times we are unable to obey. We'll see later, because there are things in our hearts that come up. You didn't ask it to come up. It just came up. And just seemed like a good idea. Maybe I should do that. And then you went off. And it's when you're corrected that you know. So we see Jesus, you know, learning obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. And then was made perfect. So that same way, you and I are going to become perfect. Of course, perfect in nature. He was perfect in nature. So when he talks about perfect here, he's talking about perfect in character. You know, so man, but we get perfect nature in about 3 years of exercise of the principles of the Christ life, you know, and then we then now have years and years to grow into maturity. So it's a process. That's the point. And you see two examples here in John chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee, Jesus didn't exactly have God's mind. Or let me put it this way, God didn't reveal his mind to Jesus, he revealed his mind to Mary first. So many times, people in authority, where you get God's mind first. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus, next verse, saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Next verse. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And she left. What happened? Jesus took correction. Son of God. Son of God. He stopped, paused, thought, and had to review the thing. Let me submit. And he aligned himself in that example. There was God, there was Mary, Jesus was out of sync. He came back in line. Phew. The rest is history. He manifested forth his glory. God needs us to align with his mind under the fathers of the house so that his glory can be manifested. Amen. And of course we know with Jesus in Gethsemane, we won't turn there. He says, not my will, but thy will be done. God said, God had a will. So we see will, purpose, thought, action. So that's what Christian is about. It's about your will, about your purpose, it's about your thoughts and about your actions. Amen. Alright. So we see this. That Bible says in Proverbs 6:23, it says the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Not a way of life, the way of life. That's why there's a straight line. There is only one way of life. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. There is no other way. The way Jesus did it is the way you're going to do it. If it's not in the Word, then it's not going to work for you. I said, if it's not in the Word, it's not going to work for you. If it's working for everybody all over the place, when it comes to your turn, it will stop working. Better say amen. Amen. And that is a favor God will do for you so that you will not be swept away with the deceitfulness that is in the world. Satan is deceiving people. If I can see it, if I get it, it's working for me. If it's in line with the Word, it's working for you. Don't be fooled. If it's not in line with the Word, I don't care if it's working for people, it is not of God. Amen. Amen. Now, why do we have this thing about correction? Three reasons all rolled into one. First of all, there's a rebellious satanic nature within us. You better believe it. As you are looking so holy and gentle and lovely, the way you are looking so beautiful in Jesus' name, you are looking so gay. The truth of the matter is that inside your flesh, there is a rebellious, stubborn, satanic nature that doesn't want to answer to anybody. John chapter 3, 19 to 21. Quickly, thank you. Speed. Let's read it together. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That is your number. That is my number. If you say God forbid, you are doing God forbid. After, it's like somebody who had a horse in a stable, and then the horse left, and then they told him that the horse has left. Say God forbid, and then he shut the door. Is the horse there? What is it? He's deceiving himself. This is our number. Everybody born of a woman, this is your number. We love darkness rather than light. Why? Because it's more comfortable. There's more darkness in, there's light in us, but the light is inside in your spirit. It's so hidden. You have to do so much to bring it out. So really, darkness, you're looking so nice and so gentle. There's darkness there. Next verse. For everyone that doeth, let's read it together now. It's not only me. It applies to me too. If I say it applies to me only now, you'll read it well. Let's read it together. For everyone that doeth evil, hated the... That's me. You didn't say it for yourself. Okay. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In your normal state, that's how you are. But God wants to change it. And God is going to change it in Jesus' name. You will cooperate with God so he can change it. Next verse. But he that doeth truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. So he that does the will of God cometh to the light. If you are doing truth, you will naturally come to the light. You will not be afraid of light. Because you are doing truth. Because light is what is helping you to do truth. So there is light in you. So guess what? You are light, and so you don't mind coming into light. But when you are doing evil, you are darkness. And darkness will always find light very uncomfortable. Guess what? God dwells in the midst of blinding light. Blinding light. Bible says, no fuller on earth can soap the kind of light. He removed his glory and gave disciples a peep of the light. So if we truly want to be children of promise and children of purpose and destiny, we must come to the light. And we must do truth. That we must allow ourselves to be corrected. Because correction is telling you, stop doing that, start doing this. Amen. You didn't say amen. That's better. Okay. And his deed that so, but he that dwelt through cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. That they are what? They are rotting. That means that God and you were working together. You wrought that thing, you fashioned it, then you brought it forth. Bible says, my father, you just said that. It says, my father, my father that liveth in me, he doeth the works. But it was Jesus we saw doing the works. But it's a father and son synergy. God is working in him. Jesus is working out. He's working out his salvation. The Father is working in. So it's God and Son. Same way it's supposed to be us and God, walking in godliness. You can't walk in godliness by yourself. No way. God has to work in you and then help you and I work it out. But it's still God working. Amen. All right. Okay. Thank you. Right. So we see that. Now, so that's one thing. So the nature is there. Then our hearts are deceitful and are desperately wicked. We know that scripture. And we need to read it. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 10. Quickly. Thank you. Okay, Amplified. Give it to me in the Amplified. Let's read it together. This is your heart. See, you must know how it is so you can overcome it. Somebody who got five over 20 and he tore the paper. Share to you in your memory. Some people like that, I've seen them before. What is the motive of tearing paper? I don't want to see this mark. It's discouraging me. It's not my portion in Jesus' name. Or what is the rationale in tearing it? Do you learn from it by tearing it? I want to forget it. How will he get better when he's tearing his paper? You will not tear your paper in Jesus' name. Students in school, you will stop tearing your paper. Amen. And spiritually, nobody should tear their paper. Amen. Accept correction when it comes. Just accept, this is my paper. Amen. Let's read it together now. This is, the heart is deceitful above all things, and is exceedingly, that means okun onshedanu. Exceedingly means it's full and it's bubbling over. Exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Along by me. May God deliver us in Jesus' name. Now you can understand why Paul says, the one I don't want to, that came into my mind at the last minute, that's the one I do. It is this heart working together with the nature. Who can know it, perceive, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind? Brethren, this is a big word. You don't know your heart. You don't know your heart in your own mind. If you are thinking, it will dribble you. He would say, and that's not what I intended, though. And this is what, and she'll be thinking that she's pretty now. Sister X, how are you? Now, God didn't see that, Abby. No, Pastor Gia said this morning, men may hear your words, but your thoughts are resounding in heaven on loudspeaker. Your thoughts are on loudspeaker. And then you thought, nobody knows what I'm thinking. You have no privilege of hidden thoughts. As a Christian, on the way to becoming like God, you have that privilege. You're just, it's like somebody who's walking around naked to the angel, like the king, and say, I see my fine clothes, and it's naked. And everybody, and say, and people are saying, it's a very nice clothes. I like that linen design. They are deceiving themselves. That's how people are. They won't tell you the truth. they won't tell you the truth. If you talk about the world, they won't tell you. They will be economical with the truth. They will only tell you some. At best, never tell you all. If you see somebody who's telling you all, you better hug them and hold them. They are rare. Very rare. Because this heart will not allow you to see it. It doesn't want you to see it. And then the last one, Satan and his angels are releasing spiritual power to blind you. So that peradventure you are thinking of seeing it, the three of them work together. The power in the air will work with the nature in your flesh, will cooperate with the thoughts in your heart and your desires, and the three of them, any normal person, they finish you. You will score own goal and you'll be clapping. I'm saying it in a funny way, but honestly, this is serious business. You're walking in disobedience, and the things you should be ashamed about, you are boasting in your shame. Things that ideally you should run to God and go and bow your head down and say, God, deliver me. You're busy looking for people that will understand. But see what Antikini said again. Hey, these people, they just don't like me. They just don't like me. Kini Moshe. You've never thought that before. They don't like me. They're always correcting me. We don't have one word of encouragement for me. I've shown my correction. You've never thought that before. May God have mercy on you in Jesus' name. I have thought it. I even thought one time mommy didn't like me. Every time. Sometimes she would tell me, what did I say? Repeat it to me. I'll be thinking to myself, shame one job on day. It has never happened to you, but I can assure you, on this road, if you are laughing at me, I'm ahead of you. That means, guess what, you're coming behind. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Look, everybody goes through it. God gets on pastor's case, pastor gets on mommy's case, mommy gets on our case, and we get on your case. And if you have mommy get on your case directly, consider it a privilege. A real privilege. So let's look. We know that scripture in well, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 4. Quickly. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 4. So, verse 3 to 4. Thank you. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Next verse. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now he's talking about, you might say, this is unbelievers, because he's talking about which believe not. It's just relative. If you don't believe the will of God, this applies to you. But let's go to Ephesians 2, 2 to 3. There I can see it clearer. Ephesians 2, 2 to 3. Quickly, thank you. Yes. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice, stop. Thank you. Back. Notice that there is power in the air. So when he says spirit, he's talking about a force. It's remote control. Next verse. Verse 4. Among whom we only the bad ones, only the ones that smoke, we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So you have thoughts and desires that are being activated by a spiritual force in the air. When, how they are activated is not under your control. It's under control of the power that's activating. And now they are working together with the deceitfulness of your heart, which is mortally sick and perverse and corrupt. And then there's the nature lying dormant in the flesh. So all three of them, you stand no chance ordinarily, if not for God. Right? Number two, this is the solution. Why? Why is it important to endure correction? Look at Colossians 1:12 so you can understand. Lord, have mercy on me. Right. Okay. Let's read it. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Your inheritance is in light. It's not in darkness. So the more light you allow in you, the more light you exercise yourself in, the closer you and I get to our inheritance. Amen. So what correction does is that it exposes your current level of light and tells you that this level is too little, given the number of years you have been born again. By reason of use, you should know better. So God is saying, it's now time for you to move from 41 level, known as 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Alright, so 30-fold is 0 to 30. Then 60-fold is like 30 to 60. Okay, so let's say you're on 40-fold. God wants to move you from the 40s up to 50. And it's correcting you. And you're saying, but there are people around me that are 20. There are people around me that are 35. I stand better than some people. So what? You must stop comparing yourself with other people. It's not wise. The scripture says that. Stop comparing. When something comes to you, answer for yourself. Don't talk about what and Lamarja were together. One will be taken and another will be left behind. Answer for yourself. Do the one for your own. Answer for yourself. That's what God is saying. Amen. So it exposes you our current level of light and challenges us to seek God for more light, bringing us closer to our inheritance. So correction moves you forward. When you're not moving forward, boom! That's how it is. There's some things we will not learn because of the satanic nature. It is stubborn. It is rebellious. It will say, it will not do. Very easy to say. It will say, but it will not do. So God doesn't allow it. God now, some people say, and they think that because they are saying they are doing, they are deceived. God wants to deliver us from that deception. Bible talks about the deceitfulness of sin. Sin can deceive you. You are doing something wrong, it tells you it's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's just different. It wants to put you in a correct corner. It's just different. So you continue. Then when it's now clear that it's wrong, you can't stop again. You're used to it. You've exercised your heart in it so much that you cannot stop. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So brethren, it's important to embrace correction because you need more light. Increase your level of light. Don't be satisfied with the level of light that you have. Don't say, Pastor Kunle, I come for prayer meeting, I do this. Yes, you do all those things, but those things do not mean that. We're talking about way you think, the way you behave, the way you act. See, there are different levels of sin. Pastor mentioned it last week, just hit it running, but I'll just give it to you. 1 John 3:4, just write down scriptures. 1 John 3:4 says sin is a transgression of the law. Proverbs 24:9 says the thought of foolishness is sin. They are both sin. One is thought level, the other one is breaking a rule, breaking a law. Then James 4:17 says he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's all sin. Omission is sin. Adam's original sin is the sin
of omission. And then Romans 14:23 says that he, whatsoever is done of faith is sin. At one level or the other, brethren, we are sinning. Even on your best day, I'm sorry to puncture your theology, on your best day, you are sinning. That's why we have been taught in this house to use the blood frequently. Father, I confess my sins, I'm so clean with the blood. So whatever sin, I'm not trying to, I did it, I didn't do it. The Bible says, make peace with your adversary. Instead of arguing, I did do it. Father, I confess my sins, in Jesus' name I have life. Lord, I clean with the blood, in Jesus' name I have life. You are done. Whether it's there, whether it's not there, you're clean. You stand clean before God, right standing. We read that in Hebrews 12. Amen. So there are different levels of sin, and there are different levels of light relative to the present truth of God. So there are different levels of light. Yesterday you may be okay. Today you may be walking behind God's schedule for you. Very, very, it is dynamic. It is very dynamic. Look at Peter in Matthew 16:17, very quickly. Right? So the key here is, what is God saying to you presently? That's why we come to church, brethren. To listen, to take down notes, so you can know what God is saying to me now. That's what God is judging you and I by. Not what he said last week. What he's saying now. And if you are behind, then run quickly. When God is there, you're running, then he gives you time. He gives you grace. But when you are at ease bus station, you are relaxed. I prayed. No devil. Where did the devil come from? Let me see the devil. Let me go and sit down my V-boot. Devil is sitting on your head. Doesn't need to sit in your V-boot. He's controlling those very thoughts you're saying. Are coming from him. So it is very important. Don't think that you stand. Always stand fear and trembling. It's a good place to be. It's a good attitude to have. Fear and trembling. That is, Lord, thank you, because I stand now by your mercy. Help me to continue to stand and look out for what to obey. Amen. Look out for the word. Look out for opportunities to obey the present word that God has given you. Look at Peter. Peter was walking in past tense, even though it was just 1 minute. But God made him a lesson for all eternity. All right, look at. But Mark 16, thank you. You got it. Right. So he asked them, who do men say that I am? We know the story. And said, thou, the Christ, the Son of God. Say, blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Very good. So Peter was naturally happy that, okay, thank God I'm walking in the will of God. Look at verse 21. Same discourse. A new word came forth. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and, I can't hear you, and many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be the third day. Present word. What's God's present word to you? Do you hear it? Does it go over your head? We need to listen with the ears of the Spirit. What is God saying to me now? Amen. Look at next verse. Then Peter took him, being a man with revelation. Haven't I just been commended in verse 17? Being a man that now, I'm walking closer to the will of God. Upon this rock that I have now, the gates of hell cannot move me. Confidence in self. Confidence in knowledge. Alone. That's the key. Alone. And then Peter began to rebuke and say, be far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And immediately Jesus turned around. He turned around and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Isn't that harsh? Brethren, you said to somebody, Niku, Umayi, God bless you. Life is your portion. And the person turns around and says, get thee behind me. He didn't say servant of Satan. He called him what? Satan! Ah! Brother, Matthew Pinu. Let's tell him, call the spirit, spirit. We Abba! Imiodindimi, Satan! The thoughts were from Satan. Peter didn't know. His heart did not stay. The fact that he had, because of work, his heart had shifted. The power in the air had controlled his heart and shifted it right there. And he didn't know. And he was speaking from another source. Right there in an instant, his antenna had shifted and he didn't know. It tells you about the heart. It can move. That's why you need fear and trembling. Always checking it. Always watching it. Amen. Amen. It's very important. Okay. Right. All right. So, another example is David. David was we know, I mean, he was looking at the rich, how they have no problem. Psalm 73, you can check it later. How they have no problem. They have no changes. Their neck is fat, you know, and all that. And he was feeling, so why am I disturbing myself? All my prayer, all my fasting. If you have never thought that, well, those things are possible. If you have thought that, you see people that don't do what you do. No, we're not, brethren, we're not doing this thing to get physical and material and physical financial success. We're not doing it to be promoted at work. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it to become like Jesus. And at this, and then as a consequence of working out our salvation with them, we attract the blessings of God. Yes, in due season. Amen. Do you understand? We're not doing it so, because sometimes some people just see Christianity as a, let me just make sure the blessing. No, you don't have to be blessed. God's blessings comes upon people that are not even born again. So it's not a way, but the eternal thing, your inheritance, that's what we are in this for. And on your way to get the inheritance, God will make sure you have sufficiency in all things. Amen. All right. Because very important, you know, the Bible says that we will prosper as our soul prosper. So God is not against us prospering. Okay. So and number three, in reason why is that wisdom is our defense. Money is not your defense as a Christian. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Wisdom is a person, and then that person gives you wisdom, the substance, light. For let's read together. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a. There are two defenses. Which one do you choose? The easier one to choose every time is money, money, money. Everybody chooses money. When something happens, first thing is, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Why is money? Why do we just lean on money? Wisdom is the defense. And he says, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life. It makes you more like God. Or principally, it gives you the raw material to become more like God. That's where wisdom is better than money. Ask Pastor and Mommy. You've seen wisdom be their defense. Just humility, walking in humility is wisdom. And people will fight your cause for you. And what someone says is not possible, will be possible for you. Because wisdom is your defense. That's why Mommy will wait, Pastor, they wait on the Lord. This is the example that we have in this house. And it's important to learn from it. They wait on the Lord until they get the mind of God, the wisdom of God. Then they go out. But before that, everybody can be running around. Everybody can be doing everything. Everybody can be making noise and say, yeah. No movement until we know what God is saying. Brethren, we must cultivate a heart for wisdom. Wisdom is our defense. And it's something we must be rich in. Your wealth should be wisdom. My wealth, we amass wisdom as a treasure. Bible talks about the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 verse 3. Okay? Treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it's very important. Look at Ephesians 3:10. This wisdom doesn't fail. Money can fail. There's some things money cannot solve. Hello? You've not seen those things. You won't see them in Jesus' name. There's so many things money cannot solve. Eh? People have children and they wished that they didn't have those children. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. But money can't solve that. What are you going to do about that? Who will you pay to do what? Brethren, let's appreciate the blessings God has given us. Your children are alive. They love God. They are in God. They understand the purpose and the will of God. And you have sufficiency in all things. And you are busy looking at the Jeep. And you are busy looking at the PJ. You are busy looking at the house. The house in this place. The house in that place. Wisdom is your defense. Is your wife walking in wisdom? Is your husband walking in wisdom? Is your child walking in wisdom? You have everything. You have everything. That's everything. It will produce. Bible says that wisdom is justified of our children. If you keep amassing her and amassing her, Bible says wisdom will be your sister, understanding will be your kinswoman. Bible says that wisdom, she will talk to you. No, when you wake up, she will speak to you. No, that companionship, wisdom will join you and God together. What else is more? What else is more? God wants to change our value system. Change our paradigm. Wisdom is our defense. Look at it. Amplified. Thank you. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. Look at that. Many-sided, infinite variety. The wisdom you use today will not be the one you use tomorrow. Brethren, we need to walk in humility. So that humility can attract the wisdom. Amen. Alright. And that will bring us into the unity of mind that God wants for us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 that Pastor Wega preached this morning. When he said that scripture, I said, wow. 1 verse, yes. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Mind. Unity of mind. That's why we go through correction. That God is trying to tell us that we should stop looking to money and start looking more to wisdom. And start cultivating things that will cause wisdom to dwell with us. Amen. Amen. And look at Psalm 145. This is the wisdom that you now do when correction comes your way. Psalm 141 verse 5. 141 verse 5. 141. Let's read it together. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head. Anointing oil. Psalm 133, where it talks about how beautiful the woman burden does again. It's like the dew of Hermon. That same oil that flows from the top comes down. That same oil. But you can't get that oil if you are not aligned properly. The example we gave. You need to be aligned. That's the unity he's talking about. Your oneness of mind. Amen. So that's why we embrace correction. Because ultimately, it's positioning you for anointing. It's positioning you for the inheritance of the fullness of the Spirit without measure. It's aligning you properly so that you can get that glory. We will not be ashamed in the day of glory in Jesus' name. We will demonstrate that glory. We will manifest it. Amen. Right now, how do we get the wisdom? How do we walk in the wisdom as we begin to round up? Now, stop trusting in your heart alone. As the first thing, stop trusting in your heart. any explanation you have about what your intentions were, which was why you did what you did, fire it. Just fire your defense attorney. Your intention, explanation, feelings. They don't appreciate me. I told you this thing happened to me. God had mercy on me and told me, what are you talking about? Stop praying. You're not praying enough. Brethren, if you don't pray enough, there will not be enough light on the inside of your mind. You'll be seeing things colored. Pastor, we are talking about it today. Evil surmises. Wrong conclusion. 2 + 2 is equal to 2,000. And it will make perfect sense to you. Until somebody else comes and says, how did you get that? Because there's not enough light. Particularly making sure you walk in prayer, travail on a daily basis. You walk in the spirit frequently. Exactly the way we were told to do it. Once every 6 hours. Some of us, that's all we do. We say at every opportunity, we say in every temptation, but we never do it. So when things come your way, now you need to say it first before you can do it. I understand that. But you must be looking for the opportunity to actually exercise it. Don't stop it once every 6 hours. At every opportunity, so every opportunity you cover every hour. So when I remember now, I cover for the next 6 hours. For 4 to 5, for 5 to 6, for 6 to 7, for 7 to 8, for 8 to 9, for 9 to 10. When I remember again, maybe 1 hour from that time, I cover again. Where would the devil, you see the impact? It begins to affect your thinking. Begin to see light. Because the hours overlap. But God honors your faith. So from the beginning of the day, if you have a busy day, right from the beginning of the day, you can ahead of the day. Once every 6 hours. Then when you remember, do it again. And when you are praying in tongues, don't leave your mind to be thinking all sorts of things all over the place. Start thinking, Lord, have mercy on me. I confess my sister so clean with blood. In Jesus' name I have life. Lord, I walk in love. I walk in obedience. I walk in patience. I'm no envy. I'm not competitive. Lord, I'm content in what I have. Lord, you say those as you are praying in tongues. Those words that come now contain, they are words of God. They contain power. And they contain words. They paint pictures. And sometimes that's how God will talk to you. Do this, do that, do this, do that. For that hour, for this one, for that one. So you know, stop ahead of time. Brethren, it's good. When it works, when it's not working, you will know that it's not working. And you quickly want to correct it. It works. Very important. So don't give any explanation. You know, don't. Receive self pity. Don't remember. You can don't tell them, get it behind me. But that's what they are doing. That's what they are doing. They are savoring the things of men. So don't accept it. Don't accept it. Just keep quiet and say, don't worry. Thank you. That's okay. Very important. No, if the person is not going to tell you something edifying and say, God will help you, God will have mercy on you, work on it. What's wrong with that? What's Bele? Are you being treated unfairly? Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. So don't let anybody rub your shoulder and get more pity party. Don't get into a pity party. It's a rot. The Bible says that the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. It means that you saw right and truth and you didn't take that direction because it was more convenient for your emotions. You went and chose the path that was justifying you. You now end up in a rot. Anyone like me? Or I'm a long saw pastor. Momo. How did you know? Moshe saw. Moshe saw. One woman legbe. Come on. No. It's like, Pastor, they are talking about me. It's me they are talking about. Hey, how do you know? I know. How do you know they're talking about you? I know. The way they were looking, it's only me they could have been talking about. Are you sure? I'm sure. Why do you have to believe that? What you believe will affect you. Why do you believe that? Why don't you rather choose to believe that they were talking about what they were talking about? It's easier on your soul. It gives you more peace. Why do you have to put your soul in a difficult position and put more darkness in it? Why? It's an enemy controlling from the air, and you don't know. So break it. Amen. Don't allow him to do that again. So don't run away from those that give us correction. Look at Psalm 119 verse 24. It's very important. Psalm 119 verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. When oversight corrects you, let their testimonies, let it be your delight. What they have said, hold on to it. In faithfulness, God afflicts us. Psalm 119 verse 75. In faith, God doesn't afflict you, no, just for afflict. When God is correcting you or God is allowing something to happen, he is doing it because he's seeing the good that's going to come out of it. Amen. So he does it in faithfulness. So judge God faithful and judge yourself unfaithful. It's hard, but it's the way of true progress. That's how to make real progress. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, the natural man does not understand things of the spirit. So many times when correction comes, the state of our minds can be natural. You can be thinking natural. It can meet you when you're at a natural point in your mind. But then step up into the spirit. Confess your sins. In Jesus' name, Father, I confess my sins so I clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. Holy Spirit, help me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Pray in the spirit. Start praying. Injecting life. Releasing the words of God. The power of God into your soul. Into your mind. And keep your soul in the direction of life. So that you will not say anything foolish, say anything stupid. Just stay there and saturate that soul with the life of God. Very important. Okay? So that you can then make that transition to move up. God will come and confirm to you. He will. But the first thing is, after you have stopped trusting in your heart, accept the correction in principle. Just accept it in principle. They may have said 100% things. If there is one that is correct, take everything. Take it. Apostle Kune is not fair. Take it back to God in your closet. God, this is what they said. This is what she said. This is what he said. This is what they have said. Show me from your word. I want to change. In the end, how much do you love the law? That's the bottom line. Pastor, we are preaching this morning. Psalm 119, verse 165. How much do you love his law? It's not whether they are right or you are right. It's about finding what God is saying through what they are saying. That's the key. And if you are like that, then you become very sensitive to God. So Jesus Christ looked at the fig tree and the Bible says he answered. Who spoke to him? God can talk to you through things you see. But when somebody comes and tells you something directly and you are busy arguing, how will you see God in some of the other littler things? Oversight are correcting and you are complaining. How will God talk to you? Naaman the Syrian, it was his servants that God spoke through. God can speak to you through your children, you know. God can speak to you through your wife. God can correct you through your husband. Oh, yes. God can correct older siblings through younger siblings. Very important. You must be open. We all must be open. Be open. Be receptive. Amen. Amen. And do what I said. What I said earlier on, when I said confess your sins, you know, receive them and ask God for mercy, pray in the spirit. Jude 2021 talks about that. You know, at that point in time, after you have accepted the correction in principle, first quickly pray. Pray in tongues. So that your mind will be in the right state. And you can take it further. Amen. So with that, your mind then apologize. Sincerely. Don't just, sorry. Oh yeah, okay, sorry. That's not good. That's not good. That's wrong attitude. Just say sorry sincerely. I am sorry. I will work on it. I will get better. That's good. That's positive. Amen. Alright? Reject condemnation. Condemnation is not part of it. There is therefore now no condemnation. God is not in that business of condemning. He's correcting and showing you the way out. Amen. Alright. Okay. Then number four. Now, as a habit, it is important for us to do three things. Know the seven pillars of wisdom, but at least pillar one, an honest and a humble heart, daily prayer with travail, and confession of God's word is key. They are important. Those pillars are important. Confession once every 6 hours, and every opportunity, every temptation, as a habit. Now, of course, you know, you may miss occasionally, but the key is the habit. God looks at the habit. Amen. And then, so that's number four. Number five, we now read our Bibles daily as a habit. Okay? Now, that's very important. If you look at James chapter 1, verse 21, we read our Bibles for nourishment. We read our Bibles for guidance. Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Okay? So, we must read our Bibles. Right? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. The word is able to save your soul. My soul. That's the only thing that can save your soul from the deception and from the enemy, what the enemy is trying to do. So, read it. Meditate upon it. You know, so read it. You know, let it be there for nourishment. Let it be there as material God can use when you are praying in tongues to talk to you and give you light. Bible says the entrance of his word giveth light and understanding to the simple. Okay, and number five, that's number five. Number six, be sober in your mind. Be sober. Think about it. Lord, help me. Lord, show me. Keep looking. That's sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be sober in your mind. And God will talk to you. He will explain to you. Whether you are in class, whether you are in school, you may be on the road, you may be somewhere, God will just talk to you. Just come into your heart. Click. Yes! Now I understand. Yes, Lord. Now I'm sorry. Now I understand. That will be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. And when that happens to you, you then appreciate oversight much more. You now appreciate them much more. What took you 3-4 days before you really fully understood it? They saw it ahead of time. You now appreciate. So next time they talk, you're not even thinking. You're just taking it and moving on. Amen. That's the way to do it. Okay, God will help us in Jesus' name. Bible says that we should know them that labor amongst us and are over us and admonish us. The first thing is the labor. Is that labor that qualifies them? They are ahead of you on the road. They know the landmarks. They know the signposts. So when you are behaving one way, they can see where you are coming from. They can see it. They may not necessarily have fallen into the same pitfall, but they can see it. So they are in a position to correct you. But you cannot see anything about them. Because they are more spiritual than you. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is how God wants to do it. God is actually raising a Zadok priesthood. Okay? Because, let me tell you, brethren, everybody has to go through this process. But there are some priests in the church that have not gone through this process, and they don't want to go through this process. They minister to the people outside. But the ones that come near, they come near. They go through the... This thing brings you nearer to God. Don't stay afar off. Don't stay afar off. Come near. The people, the priesthood that draws near is the priesthood of Zadok. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 44, verse 28, that the Lord is their inheritance. That's your portion. God is your inheritance. But you cannot contain God except God removes those things on the inside and makes room for you to be able to download His fullness. Let us pray. Son of Zadok. Zadok. God is calling you. Embrace correction. Don't be quick to answer. Don't be quick to explain. Appreciate the vessel. Determined to work on it. Go through that process of sonship. God's destiny for you is not to be a bastard, is to make you a son that He welcomes with an open heart. When you have understood His thoughts, His purpose, His plan, His will, and His actions. Unity through oneness of mind. That's what correction does. Embrace it. If you stayed behind, you stayed far away, some of these things we're talking about, it's been grievous. You've despised it. You've scorned to submit to it. Or you've failed, fainted, you've given up. It's too hard. Be encouraged. Brace up those weak hands. Reinvigorate and give strength to your knees and keep walking that path of destiny, the way of life. God never gives up on us. He will not give up on you. But you must not give up. Ask God for mercy. To be faithful. Even when it's hurting, pray. Pray. Lord, help me. He knows your frame. He will not allow us to be tempted of what we are able to bear. He is faithful. He's merciful. Judge Him faithful. Stop going back in your mind to your explanation and what you are thinking. Keep your mind open to what God will tell you. Stay with the Word. Your testimonies, and that of those in authority over me, they are my counselors. I accept in principle. I accept it. Help me. And God will help you.